Welcome to Question and Answer Time. We have a question from Illinois. This has bothered me for years. Romans chapter 12. If thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I used to think that this passage meant that we would be rewarded for being good to those who did evil to us, and that those evildoers were more so doomed to spend eternity in hell. These verses never did sit right with me. What does this term, heaping coals of fire, mean, in your opinion? Well, that's another good question we have here. It is amazing how negative our religious views of God will flavor our reading of the scriptures. It leads us to assume that a phrase such as heaping coals of fire on his head is to be viewed in a negative light. We've been led to do so by many religious teaching. Rome used this very passage to carry out their inquisitions and their burnings at the stake. Many Protestant commentators haven't done much better in promoting this negative view. We notice, for instance, Albert Barnes wrote in his old work from the 1800s, "Burning coals heaped on man's head would be expressive of intense agony." So the apostle says that the effect of doing good to an enemy would be to produce pain. William Burkett from the 1600s wrote, "By coals of fire heaped upon his head, others understand a sin-punishing fire. Thou shalt heap coals of fire, that is, the fire of divine vengeance, upon his head, by making his malice and hatred against thee more inexcusable." Matthew Poole, also from the 1600s, wrote, "Heaping coals of fire bring down the greater vengeance from God upon him." You say that this passage has bothered you for years and years. Well, rightfully so, as this passage is a perfect example of how the Father alerts us to the error of our thinking. So, what is wrong with this picture? We really need to ask ourselves, what does this passage mean in the light of all we know about our Father, of His ultimate victory in bringing all things into harmony with Himself and using us as His vessels of mercy? I might ask a simple question here. What would be the natural purpose of coals of fire? For instance, if I were to have coals of fire at my house, would I do so for a negative purpose or for a positive one? Would my purpose be for punishment, for shame, for destruction, to produce guilt, to produce pain? Of course not. A wise man would use coals of fire in his home for none of these reasons. He would use it to warm his house. Why would we think any different about its use here? It would take religion to so skew our thinking in this way. Is not our life of goodness and kindness designed by Father to warm up those to whom we share His life with? He uses us as instruments of kindness to warm the coldness and melt the hardness of their hearts. Methodist commentator Adam Clark in the 1700s wrote fittingly regarding this passage. Here's what he said. "Thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, not to consume, but to melt him into kindness, a metaphor taken from smelting metallic ores." Here's what others have written regarding the true nature of this passage. A.E. Nock, in his concordant commentary, says, "An enemy in distress, instead of calling for hate and vengeance, is a special opportunity for the display of God's grace. The morsel, a special portion of food with which the host favored the honored guest, was a token of esteem and consideration. Mercy might provide an enemy with food, but grace accompanies the gift with every mark of love and honor. This is the way in which God vanquishes our enemy. Hence, we should do likewise. And speaking in the broader theme of the passage, Alan Barnes writes in his work, Is It of God? Does this rob God of anything? Not even of revenge. For if bread to the hungry be the divine method of heaping coals of fire, so does God himself revenge himself upon his enemies by loving them. Oh, what a wonderful truth. You know how God gets revenge? He gets revenge by loving his enemies and restoring them and bringing them back to himself. Well, what is this heaping coals of fire? It's actually a Jewish figure of speech. B.M. Bowman, in Strange Scriptures That Perplex the Western Mind, writes concerning this figure of speech, heaping coals of fire. Paul says that if we give food and drink to our enemies, we shall be heaping coals of fire on their heads. To us, this doesn't sound like forgiveness, but like taking vengeance. In the Bible lands, almost everything is carried on the head. Water, jars, baskets of fruit, vegetables, fish, or any other article. Those carrying the burden rarely touch it with their hands, and they walk through the crowded streets and lanes with perfect ease. In many homes, the only fire they have is kept in a vessel which they use for simple cooking as well as for warmth. They plan to always keep it burning. If it should go out, some member of the family would take the vessel to a neighbor's house to borrow fire. When she will lift the vessel to her head and start for home, if her neighbor is a generous woman, she will heap the vessel full of coals. To feed an enemy and give him drink is like heaping the enemy with live coals, which meant food, warmth, and almost life itself to the person or home needing it, and was a symbol of the finest generosity. So the phrase heaping coals of fire is actually a part of a quote from Proverbs 25, 21 and 22. Let me read that for you. Proverbs 25, 21 and 22. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Interestingly enough, Fenton Furrier's translation from 1903 of the passage in Proverbs takes this phrase, heaping coals of fire on his head, in its literal meaning, thus explaining the figure of speech rather than translating it. And so he writes, instead of heaping coals of fire on his head, and a fire beside for his needs. Although popular translations of this entire passage may often lead readers to a punishment view toward mankind, we have actually been instructed not to recompense evil for evil, but to overcome evil with good. This is the divine plan of the ages, the overcoming of evil with good, for love never fails. Jesus instructed his disciples to love their enemies and to be a blessing to them. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And on what basis did he do so? Because it's the very nature of the Father. For four verses away in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, he says, and be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You see, God is love, and his love has been shed abroad in our hearts, and we can now walk in love, so that as the Father's vessels of mercy that we are, we would be a blessing to those around us. Matthew 5, 44 again, love your enemies. Romans chapter 12, verse 14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. 1 Corinthians 4, 12, being reviled, we bless. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. 1 Peter 3, 9. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. As the saints of God, this is who God has called us to be. He's called us to be loving and kind and giving and forgiving and to be a blessing to our even our enemies. This is a part of our high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, I hope that this was helpful to you. If you have a Bible question you'd like to ask, you can send it to me at Clyde@studyshelf.com. Of course, personal questions will never be dealt with in a public format such as this. But if you have a basic Bible question that could be of help to others, you may hear it right here on our question and answer segment.